The opinions expressed on the following sponsored program are strictly those of the host, guests, and callers, and not necessarily those of this station, its staff, management, or sponsors. Welcome to the Save-A-Lot Nutrition Hour with your hosts, Mr. Al Foreman and licensed nutrition counselor, Janet Cimarelli. The Save-A-Lot Nutrition Hour brings to you the very latest nutrition information, and the Save-A-Lot Nutrition Centers bring you EDLP. More about EDLP during the show. Here are your hosts, Al Foreman and Janet Cimarelli, licensed nutritionist.
Start spreading. Good morning, everybody. This is Al Foreman for the Save-A-Lot Nutrition Hour. It's a Wednesday morning here. It is the 5th of April. And I am joined with a very, very special guest who I had announced yesterday when Janet and I did the show about a special topic, a topic that most people dread to hear in a diagnosis. And we're going to try and give you another insight into the scope of what cancer does to you and how you can help prevent it. My special guest today is Dr. Herb Slavin. Good morning, Dr. Slavin.
Good morning, Al.
It's a pleasure to have you on the show with us. Janet is off today, as she is every Wednesday. However, she will be back tomorrow from 11 to 2, on Friday from 4 to 7, and Saturday from 1 to 5. One of the questions that ran through my mind when we were discussing about the topic for today was, would it fit categorically into the area of what comes first, the chicken or the egg? Because when you think about it, most mainstream doctors that practice in the medical field that may treat cancer patients, they don't give you any idea as to what you can do to prevent it. All they want to do is give you chemo, radiation, and any one of a number of different pharmaceuticals or pharmaceutical treatments to rid the body of cancer, which in most cases is really not too successful. But I'm going to hear from you because you are the professional and you've been dealing with patients with cancer for many, many years. So let's explore all the insights that you have to share with our listening audience.
All right, Al. I was, there's something, you know, the question I ask all the time, not just about cancer, but in general, why do we get sick? And when we speak about cancer, because it's a serious illness, and I'm not sure we're doing a good job in treating it, and definitely not doing anything about preventing it, I think the first question you have to ask is, what was the incidence of cancer, say, back in the year 1900 compared to today? And I'm not talking about cure rates or anything like that, just how many people are getting cancer. And the answer is, it's a lot higher today than it was back in the year 1900. And in fact, if you were to go back historically, thousands of years ago, there's evidence that cancer existed, but it was an extremely rare disease. So if the increase of cancer is increasing, then you have to think, what's happened in the last 100 years? What's changed that might be making us more susceptible to getting cancer? Because as you know, if you ask a physician, he said, well, they should know this, our bodies are always exposed to cancer cells, and our immune system takes care of them, you know, and prevents, cancer from developing. And yet in some people, the immune system doesn't work, and the cancers develop. And that's happening more and more. So we have to think about what's changed in the last 100 years. And patients have told me when they go to another doctor and they might ask them, what caused my cancer? You know what their answer is? I heard this more than once. Bad luck.
Bad luck.
Yeah. Like they don't pay attention. Yeah, they don't pay. They're not even thinking about the causes. All they're thinking about is, like you said earlier, what drugs can we give somebody to treat them? And I came across an interesting report, see if I can find this here, about cancer drugs. And the headline was, why do so many cancer patients get treated with drugs that don't work? And I'd like to, you know, expand on that a little bit, because apparently, what people don't realize is the drugs that are being approved by the FDA to treat cancer don't have to, they don't have to show that they cure the person or extend life even. All they have to do is show it shrinks the patient, shrinks the tumor. And here's the underlying reason, I guess, why they're getting approved. New cancer drugs that are not proven to work cost just as much as the ones that are effective, and that could be as high as $170,000 per patient.
That's for how long a period of time, Dr. Slavin?
That's probably, I would think, for the duration of the treatment. Unfortunately, it's usually until the patient dies. You know, they put on drugs.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a graph here that shows 18 new and expensive cancer drugs do not improve survival rates. But you could even say, well, maybe it improves the quality of life. Well, it doesn't do that either. So, you know, we have where I'm going with this is that to reduce our risk of getting cancer, it's up to us. It's not the medical establishment that's going to do anything, because they're not even interested in doing anything. If you think about some of the more common cancers that we face, like breast cancer, what are they doing to tell women to prevent breast cancer? Nothing. They say, get your mammogram, and if we catch it early, you know, then we can treat it. Another example, Al, is a colonoscopy. They've got people going running into their colonoscopies. But what are they telling people as far as what they should do to prevent colon cancer?
And here's the hit the nail thing on the head, without a doubt.
Right. And just a brief something to think about. There are about 135,000 people diagnosed each year with colorectal cancer. And that breaks out to about 95,500 for colon cancer and 39,900 for rectal cancer. And more than 50,000 people die from it. And the incidence is going up, and it's hitting younger and younger people. So the question is, should we be running to get the colonoscopies? So, you know, there's not a consensus as far as what the answer to that question is because of the side effects from colonoscopies.
Excuse me for interrupting, but with all your knowledge, Dr. Slavin, in the area of cancer, can you estimate the number of cancer diagnoses for different parts of the body? Is there 50? Is there 100? Is there 200?
Well, theoretically, you know, when you have we'll call it an exponential growth of cells, cells that, you know, start growing uncontrollably and form tumors. They can affect any tissue in the body, but the common ones are lung cancer, breast cancer, and prostate cancer, and then colon cancer. Those are the major ones. Then, of course, you know, stomach cancer, ovarian cancer, testicular cancer. Then you have skin cancer. I mean, any part of the body is susceptible. And the one common denominator, as far as I can tell, as I mentioned earlier, your immune system is in charge of detecting those cancer cells and killing them before, you know, they grow into a tumor. So then we have to look at what are we doing then to our immune system that's undermining its ability to function properly that we weren't doing 100 years ago because the incidence of cancer 100 years ago was so much lower than it is today. So I think... That's where you have to look. What's changed in the last 100 years? Now, we can talk about things like sleep. That's important. But I'm sure even 100 years ago, there were people that weren't getting enough sleep for one reason or another. But I'll give you one that we've talked about a lot on the program, Al. And that's sugar consumption and processed foods. I'm willing to bet, Al, you can, maybe you can think back to your parents or grandparents 100 years ago.
Right.
They weren't having the processed foods or the sugar intake that we have today.
No such thing. My folks and my grandparents used to shop every day, and they used to buy fresh foods. We only had an icebox with a door for the cold items, and then above it was an icebox filled with ice that you had, that you stored maybe meat that you bought that day to keep it fresh. That was it.
So I think if I remember the numbers about the number of pounds of sugar consumed per person per year, you know, we would say it, you know, it's maybe as high as 300, well, it was 150 pounds, I think. And you used to say, well, I don't consume that much, so some people must be consuming 300 pounds
right.
of sugar a year. So that's a big factor. And, of course, so you can look at the another thing, Al, maybe you can comment on this, too. I think people are weighing more today than ever before as well.
Without a doubt. But that's from the junk food. That's not from the food. That's junk food.
Exactly. The processed foods, the sugar, it's a direct reflection, and it's all related. Because sugar is going to cause something called insulin resistance, meaning high insulin levels in the body, and that's these are some of the things that interfere with your immune system function. Now, aside from processed foods, the other thing that wasn't available or even known about, we don't have to go back 100 years, probably not more than, you know, 30 or 40 years, is genetically modified foods.
That's fairly recent.
Yeah. And what makes that category so dangerous is genetically modified foods are created to withstand the use of pesticides with glyphosate. So you can spray over those crops. The crops are immune from the pesticide, and it'll kill all the weeds around it. But that doesn't mean that the people consuming those crops and consuming the glyphosate aren't going to be affected. And it is recognized as a possible carcinogen, glyphosate. So genetically modified foods, I think, have added to the amount of exposure we all have to pesticides. That's why, and Al, I have to say, GMO-free isn't really enough either, because they're still spraying those crops. You want to go with organic produce as much as possible.
Well, I know we have a lot more to cover, Dr. Slavin, and we're coming up on our first intermission. When we come back, we should continue pursuing this avenue that you've chosen to go down, which has to do with the foods and why it's so important to eat organic and stay away from the processed foods, the GMO foods, and, of course, the meats and fish and poultry that are containing other chemicals besides the good ones, which the body needs, but you're getting into an area that I think has to be explained in great depth so that people understand it. This is Al Foreman for the Save-A-Lot Nutrition Hour. My very special guest today is Dr. Herb Slavin, whose practice is on Commercial Boulevard at 7200 West Commercial Boulevard, the Institute of Advanced Medicine. And if you'd like to reach Dr. Slavin, his phone number is 954-748-4991. I know that by heart because I've been a patient of Dr. Slavin's for over 20 years, and I'm very happy that I am. So stay tuned. We'll be back in a couple of minutes.
Mr. Al Foreman and his team are working very hard to stock the Save-A-Lot Nutrition Center with the best supplements, the best beauty care, the best organic groceries, but the best of the best is the prices. EDLP. Everyday low prices. We invite you to come and see what we're creating for you, the savvy health food shopper. Come see us at the Save-A-Lot Nutrition Center, 3105 North State Road 7 in the PennDOT Shopping Center, 1/2 mile south of Sample Road in Margate, 754-307-1655, 754-307-1655. 307-1655.
Jana Juice gives you the antioxidant protection that is so important to support the health of your cells. Two easy-to-swallow capsules help to minimize the damage for free radicals, energize on a cellular level, enhance your immune response, all with two capsules per day. Come into Save-A-Lot Nutrition Centers and learn more. 3105 North State Road 7, Margate, a half mile south of Sample Road in the Penn Dutch Shopping Plaza. Come in today. 754-307-1655. 754-307-1655.
Good morning, everybody. This is Al Foreman for the Save-A-Lot Nutrition Hour. It's a beautiful Wednesday morning here, April 5th, in the city of Margate. I am speaking to you from Janet Cimarelli's palatial office at 3105 North State Road 7, which is also known as 441. And we are located a half a mile south of Sample Road in the Penn Dutch Plaza Shopping Center. We are open tonight until 8 o'clock, as we are through Monday through Friday. Saturday, we're open from 9 a.m. to 6 p.m., and we are closed on Sundays and holidays. So let me get back to the topic, Dr. Slavin, and you had brought up some interesting points about what people have to look for when it comes to selecting foods that are good for their body. Because as you brought up, 100 years ago, we didn't know from processed foods. We didn't know about frozen foods. We didn't know about not catching your own fish. Everything years ago was totally different than what it is today. Life has become too easy for people because they choose not to make their own meals fresh and organic. They rather go to a fast food restaurant or bring in food that has been processed who knows how many times. So I'm going to let you pick up where we left off before the break.
Well, let's just stay with processed foods for a second. And another name for that might be convenience foods. Of course, I think if you're not trying to eat organic foods as much as possible, you're doing a disservice to your body, because any other food but organic is going to have the residue of different pesticides that were used, and they're going to have an impact on your immune system. And that's the key. The immune system are the cells in your body that keep us healthy. And if you undermine that, then you're going to sacrifice your health. It's not just with cancer, you know, a lot of other illnesses. So we have the processed foods. That wasn't around. So many more chemicals are in the environment today than they were 100 years ago. That could be another factor as well. I'm sure this hasn't changed, and it's a factor. You know, stress, fear, anger, worry. I'm sure people had that 100 years ago. But if that was the only risk factor you had, and you didn't have the other dozens or more, you know, your risk still stayed low. But when you add one on top of the other, you can realize, you know, how you're weakening the immune system. And we left off, I think, talking about genetically modified foods. So another source, and nobody thinks twice about it. You know, we've talked about this before, too. We always think if it's sold in the supermarket, it must be safe. And, of course, that's not true. One crop, and I think about this, too, because a lot of people try to eat healthy and they exercise. That's another important point. And they drink coffee and they don't think twice about the source of their coffee. Coffee is one of the most heavily sprayed crops around. So there's another source of pesticides and herbicides, unless you get organic coffee. And I know when people go outside to buy coffee, you know, the major chains are, you know, like Starbucks are chock full of nuts. Dunkin' Donuts. They don't, to my knowledge, offer a choice for organic coffee.
I haven't seen it yet.
Yeah, they probably should. I think that more and more people are becoming aware of the importance of choosing organic. In fact, there was a news report I had read where sales at Whole Foods were diminishing a little bit, only because of the greater competition from other sources of buying organic. Because it used to be Whole Foods was probably, you know, primarily the only place you could get it. Wasn't that right, Al?
Well, I know that, speaking for myself, we use here at Save-A-Lot and at home a Keurig machine. And the Keurig cups that we use are the Newman's Organic.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I know there are probably a couple of other brands of organic coffees that people can get in that Keurig container. But as you pointed out, you don't see it in your major chains like Starbucks and Dunkin' Donuts and other places that you may visit. I know there are some out in California. The names escape me that have been brought to my attention by people that live out there that are visiting here in Florida. But they're far and few between. And here it becomes a question of searching out if you're going to drink coffee to try and drink organic coffee. Whether you brew it yourself or whether you buy it in a cup makes no difference. But again, it's another area that people have to be concerned about. And the purpose of your discussion today is to try to give people some indication as to prevention, because that's still the key to stop the body from producing cancer cells.
Yeah, the fact that you mentioned, you know, the Cora cups now are available in Publix. You know, more and more places are selling organic and are devoting more shelf space to organic products. And that's just a reflection of the demand by the public for organic products. So that's a positive change. The other thing, think about this, Al. When you were born, how many vaccinations did you get?
To tell you the truth, I think I only got one. I can't be certain because both my folks have passed on.
Right.
But I know growing up, it's a topic that we discussed.
Yeah, so back then, the only vaccine really available was smallpox.
I believe that was it.
Yeah. And you know, and you knew you had a smallpox vaccine because it would leave a little scar on your skin after having had the vaccine. So, what are we doing today? How many, you know, vaccines are we giving to kids, and we expect it to have no impact on them? And of course, it does. So, you know, one thing after another, and you begin to understand why all these things, the impact of these things on our immune system, are going to translate into an increased risk of disease, including, you know, cancer. So I think today kids, I can't even keep track. Before they leave the hospital, you know, they're vaccinated for so many things, even before the immune system has a chance to develop properly.
Well, it seems to, in my recollection, I know it's more than 10, and it could be as high as 20 over a period of a baby's growth when they're first born until they're in school age, and maybe up until they're 7 or 8 years old, they're bombarded with getting different immunization shots based upon what the pharmaceutical industry has dictated to our government. And they're the ones that put into effect in the school system that kids have to be vaccinated.
No, the thing I look for over the years are the actual studies that have been done demonstrating the efficacy of vaccinations. In other words, where are the studies vaccine to see how effective the vaccine is? And they're nowhere to be found. I don't think they've had any actual long-term studies on vaccines ever done. You know, typically if they did any study, it would be done, you know, maybe for a couple of months, maybe a year, to see what the short-term effects might be, but not the long-term effects. And you always have to think of what we're talking about today in the context of the high incidence or the increasing incidence of cancer compared to 100 years ago, and think about all the changes that we've seen in our environment. Another one, electronics, right? Well, think about this, Al. When you were growing up, what kind of electronics did you have?
The only electronic was a party phone.
Right.
Where you had to wait for your neighbor to finish speaking on the phone before you can use it.
Right, and you had a radio in the house.
A radio we did have, that is correct, with an antenna.
Yeah, and then you had, and the light bulbs, and that was...
Right.
I guess the stove you had was probably a gas stove, right? So it wasn't even electronic.
That's correct also.
Yeah. So imagine, look at the difference today compared to back then. So today, you know, everybody has cell phones, televisions, computers, a big difference, and they have an effect. Think about this. Everything we're exposed to is going to have an effect on our bodies, either a positive effect or a negative effect. So you have to think of things in that context to try and understand what we can do. Now, here's another observation. And, Al, I know you recently had lab work done, and this would have been part of that panel, where we look for infections that we've been exposed to. And the reason I'm doing that is, one thing is, I started thinking about this. Of course, you hear you're being bombarded with the shingles vaccine, you know, prevent shingles, you know, the herpes zoster virus that is lying dormant in your body until it becomes active and gives you the shingles rash.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, that's the virus that causes chickenpox. Well, there are a whole bunch of other infections that lie dormant in our body as well. And when they become active, they make you sick too. They can cause things like chronic fatigue, fibromyalgia, but things even more importantly, cancer, heart disease, depression, thyroid problems. And nobody ever talks about this. They just give you the treatment. Oh, they made the diagnosis, you have this problem, take this drug, instead of trying to help you understand ways to keep yourself healthy. And it always points back to keeping your immune system as strong as possible. Now, one of those viruses is the Epstein-Barr virus. I think most people have heard of that. And Epstein-Barr commonly is known to be associated with the cause of mononucleosis, or mono, known as the kissing disease.
Right.
And it's been associated with chronic fatigue. But what never gets any attention is the fact that Epstein-Barr virus has been associated with cancers like breast cancer. But here's why we're talking about the things that undermine our immune system, because they say about 95% of the population has the Epstein-Barr virus in their bodies, but not everybody is getting cancer. So when we get back, we'll talk about why some people do and what some people don't.
That's a great idea, Dr. Slavin. And I also want to give you something to think about. We had two callers off the air that had a question about blood work. And one of the questions had to do, is there a blood test to determine if a woman or a man has breast cancer? And the other, is there a blood test can determine whether or not a person has a low carbon dioxide foundation in their body? So think about those, because when we come back from this next intermission, maybe you could spend a couple of minutes and just answer those two questions. This is Al Foreman for the Save a Lot Nutrition Hour. I am joined this morning with our very, very special guest, Dr. Herb Slavin, whose office is located at 7200 West Commercial Boulevard in the city of Lauderhill, which is about maybe a mile east of University Drive. And the phone number to call for an appointment would be 954-748-4991. So stay tuned. We'll be back in a couple of minutes.
Are you looking for expert advice on how to improve your health? Now you can conveniently schedule consultations with Janet Cimarelli, licensed nutritionalist, at the Save-A-Lot Nutrition Center. Janet is a licensed nutrition counselor specializing in the field of natural foods and supplements. Janet offers consultations in her office with convenient and flexible times to meet the needs of your busy life. Janet will educate you on how to manage your diet and lifestyle to overcome illness. Her areas of expertise include allergies, diabetes, heart disease, hormone replacement, weight management, insomnia, and healthy aging. Don't wait. Come see Janet, and she'll guide you to change your diet and change your life. Take control of your health at Save-A-Lot Nutrition Center and tune in to hear Janet on the Save-A-Lot Nutrition Hour, Monday through Friday, 10 to 11 a.m., right here on WNN.
Hi, this is Janet for the Save-A-Lot Nutrition Hour, and I would love to introduce you to the fabulous staff at the Save-A-Lot Nutrition Center in Margate. Good morning. This is Janet. Who is this?
This is Dorothy. Good morning, Janet. How are you today?
I'm doing very well, and I'd love for you to introduce yourself to our Save-A-Lot Nutrition Hour listeners.
Good morning, everybody. My name is Dorothy. We welcome everybody to come in. You will be amazed at the prices and the stock in the store, the experienced help, any information that you would love to have. There's always someone here very willing to help you.
Thanks so much. And to our listeners, you can find Dorothy as a cashier and very willing and able to help you. Thanks for talking with us, Dorothy.
Good morning, everybody. This is Al Foreman for the Save-A-Lot Nutrition Hour. It's a Wednesday, the 5th of April. And our very special guest today is Dr. Herb Slavin, and we're talking about the topic of cancer and the many avenues that people have to be concerned about preventing cancer. You don't want to wait to get a diagnosis and then start chemical treatments that will destroy your body. What you want to do is you want to learn how to prevent from getting cancer in the first place. Janet Cimarelli is off today. She'll be back tomorrow from 11 to 2. She'll be here on Friday from 4 to 7 and Saturday 1 to 5. And before the break, Dr. Slavin, we spoke about two questions that came up from the listening audience. One had to do with whether or not there is a blood test specifically for breast cancer and whether or not there is a blood test that can determine a low carbon dioxide level in the body. So I'm going to turn it back to you.
All right. Well, the carbon dioxide test is actually routinely done when you do a chemistry panel. And it's really not that important in people that are feeling okay and visiting the doctor, but in people sick enough to be in the hospital, then it becomes more important because it's a reflection of your acid and alkaline balance in the body. Now, there are tests for breast cancer, and they fall into two categories. Most of them are tests that become elevated in the presence of breast cancer. Now, a woman can have breast cancer, and those tests can still be normal. So they're not a good way. It shouldn't be used for screening because that's not going to be a very sensitive approach. However, if they are elevated, then they're used to evaluate your treatment approach to see if, you know, as the patient gets better, those what we call cancer markers will go down. Now, I was I'm going to find out more about it next week, but one of the labs stopped by to say there's a new breast cancer test to come out, and it may be like some of the newer tests coming out. Maybe it's going to be a test that indicates women at risk of developing breast cancer. That would be a good thing, as opposed to just indicating when you have breast cancer. You know, the one thing I've noticed when it comes to mainstream medicine, as we've been alluding to, is they don't do anything to prevent the disease. Everything is geared toward finding it, so then they can make money treating it. And the question I always pose is, if they don't know how to prevent it, how can we have confidence in their treatment? So so that's the topic today is, you know, things we can do to increase our chances of not getting different illnesses. And what are we doing to weaken our immune systems that allow this to happen. You know, we see a skewed population now. People that go into your store or the people that come to our office, for the most part, they're, you know, usually pretty healthy. Mm-hmm. And then sometimes, you know, when they're not feeling good, they go into your store looking for natural remedies as opposed to some prescription that the doctor might suggest. I have to say, wandering a little bit here, but one of the most dangerous prescriptions out there that nobody really considers is antibiotics. They're overutilized and they're very dangerous. We talk about the importance of the immune system. The majority of your immune system is your digestive tract. The immune cells located there, and you disrupt it every time you take an antibiotic. So you have to really think twice when doctors prescribe it, if you really need it. Now, Al, here, speaking of that, Al, when you were growing up, were you given antibiotics?
No, we were not given antibiotics. In fact,
they didn't have them.
The doctor used to come to the house if myself, my brother, or my sister weren't feeling well. And it was deemed necessary by my folks that the doctor visit. Otherwise, we never went to the doctor.
Yeah,
and I'm going back in the early 40s.
Right. And that's around the time that I think penicillin started coming out. Before that, you had sulfur antibiotics, but that was it. And, of course, when the penicillin injection antibiotic was available, when the doctor came over, everybody got a shot of penicillin. Mm-hmm. That was their approach. But, yeah, but they didn't have antibiotics, yet we survived and probably survived better back then than people do today.
Without a doubt, Dr. Slavin. So, and the response for the breast cancer question, a blood test can determine a marker that would give you, as a professional holistic doctor, the opportunity to give the patient more preventive reasons to prevent it from getting, let's say, to the point where she could develop breast cancer.
I'm hoping that test, that's what that test will be that I mentioned that I'm going to find out more about next week. I'm not sure. Right now, the tests are really not effective in as a form of screening for breast cancer. For a woman, the best way of being proactive as far as breast cancer goes is thermography of the breast, because that will identify women who are at greater risk of developing breast cancer even before it begins to grow. All the other tests used for breast cancer, like mammograms, ultrasound, MRI, they're only valuable after the tumor has grown, so it can be seen. But thermography can look at the function of the breast tissue and indicate whether it's likely that this is a high risk for cancer or not. And then you can change it. That's the important thing, is that if a woman is told they're at higher risk for developing breast cancer on a thermography, and it's usually that higher risk comes from a hormonal imbalance, just correcting that hormonal imbalance will reduce that risk again of developing breast cancer. Now, here's the thing. We always think, you know, we've been trained to think, you know, you have to look for one cause for the problem. You know, you have a bacteria. What is the disease that causes, or a virus? Well, it's multifactorial. That's the way we have to think about things. So I mentioned earlier Epstein-Barr has been associated with breast cancer. Well, pretty much everybody's been exposed to Epstein-Barr. We harbor it in our bodies. We're not all getting cancer. Well, what else has to happen? Well, you have to suppress your immune system a little bit. And we went through all the ways we unknowingly do that, from eating too much sugar, lack of exercise, exposure to environmental toxins. Vaccinations probably play a role. In fact, I can say that vaccinations play a role in people getting sick, because we hear about people, you know, the studies about someone who has a vaccine and then they get deathly ill. What happens there is the vaccine is stressing your immune system, and when the immune system is stressed like that, it's not going to be as functional, and it allows other infections in the body to become active in some cases, not in every case. So it becomes – that's why it's so difficult to figure out what causes something, is because there isn't one cause, except to say it's a breakdown in your body's own defenses that allows it to happen. So you have to think of it in those terms. And we have so much control over how our bodies function if we would only think about it and then take control, because you can't ignore your body and then go to the doctor and expect them to give you a drug to make you better.
But that's the mindset of today's population, Dr. Slavin, unfortunately.
And you know, it developed, I think, with the introduction of antibiotics. Somebody would be sick, they'd be given an antibiotic, and they got better, and all of a sudden they said, well, you know, these miracle drugs are going to just make us better all the time. And we've become dependent on different medications instead of taking control ourselves. And you can go right down the list of all the illnesses people get, and they're all self-inflicted. You can start with high blood pressure. You can start with adult onset diabetes. Even juvenile diabetes, which is the insulin-dependent type, has been associated with exposure to viruses. So it's important for our immune system to be kept as strong as possible. Are there any tests that can – there are no direct tests, really, to look at the immune system. You can only look at indirectly the function of your body, and if there's a dysfunction found, you know that's a reflection of the immune test. Al, have you had the heart rate variability when you've been at the office?
Sure I have. I thought I was able to take everything that you offer in the way of testing.
Yeah.
And I was just there last Thursday
right.
for my yearly blood panel, which I'm sure the earlier point you brought up about the new test that you are giving, I'm sure is part of my blood work.
Yeah, well, the heart rate variability is not the blood test. It's, you know, where we put a sensor on your finger and we're monitoring your heart rate. And when you monitor heart rate variability, it's a reflection of your autonomic nervous system. And it's a real good indicator of just the level of health somebody has. Another test, and if I had to pick one test to do more than any, you know, if you only had one and you wanted to help somebody the most, it was the body composition analysis. So that goes beyond just weighing somebody. You know, you weigh somebody, and it tells you in pounds what they weigh. But the body composition tells you in pounds how much of your weight is made up of fat, of muscle, of water. And those are important numbers to know because two people can have the same weight, and one could be highly muscled, one could have a lot of fat, and clearly one is healthier than the other. So the one
that one I know you did.
Okay.
Because you printed it out for me, and the results
right.
were excellent.
Okay. And the other one, the body, you might have had it, the heart rate variability is a colored sheet, you know, has colored graphs on there. So what I would say is if I had that one test, if I could get people to lose weight, that's probably the most important factor because the things that put weight on us, we mentioned sugar, undermines your immune system. So if you're overweight, we know that you're eating to undermine your immune system. So if I could just get people to lose weight, and we do, when I show that, you know, it helps motivate people, and they can see the weight coming off when we check them regularly, and they feel better. And here's what else happens when they lose weight. Besides their insulin levels going down, the blood sugar gets better, their cholesterol levels get better, and more importantly, they feel better. And it's something that we have total control over, but we don't choose to use that control.
So true. And I think that's why the sugar consumption in this country is just the highest it's ever been, which I believe is the figure is over 150 pounds per person, which is a staggering number when you think about it. I know we're coming up on a last intermission of the show, Dr. Slavin, and I don't know if you had an opportunity to check into that question about a blood test or what could be the causes of a low carbon dioxide value in the body. But if you have an opportunity, maybe you can respond to it when we come back. This is Al Foreman for the Save a Lot Nutrition Hour. You're listening to a special guest, Dr. Herb Slavin, speaking about the issue of cancer and how you could prevent it from ever happening in the first place. We're going to be back in a couple of minutes, so stay tuned. And keep in mind that Janet Cimarelli is off today. She will be back tomorrow from 11 to 2, Friday 4 to 7, and Saturday from 1 to 5. Stay tuned, and we'll be right back.
Come to my office at the Save-A-Lot Nutrition Center. I can evaluate your blood work to determine the beneficial activity of your supplements. For comprehensive testing information, and personalized recommendations, speak with me, Janet Cimarelli, and get the guidance needed to achieve meaningful results for your personal health issues. 754-307-1655. 754-307-1655. The Save-A-Lot Nutrition Center is located at 3105 North State Road 7, 1/2 mile south of Sample Road in the Penn Dutch Shopping Center in Margate.
The knowledgeable team at Save-A-Lot Nutrition Center is partnering with Janet Cimarelli to give you the information and knowledge you need to better manage your health. Janet is a leading licensed nutrition counselor specializing in the field of natural foods and supplements. Janet's counseling services are now available at the Save-A-Lot Nutrition Center, 3105 North State Road 7 in Margate. At the Save-A-Lot Nutrition Center, Janet can work with you to change your diet and change your life. Janet has over 25 years of clinical experience helping people to overcome and manage illness. Let her help you get on the path of better health. Call today for convenient times to meet with Janet Cimarelli. Call 754-307-1655. That's 754-307-1655. And make sure to listen to Janet and Mr. Al Foreman Monday through Friday, 10 to 11 a.m. right here on WNN. Great service, great prices, save a lot.
Good morning, everybody. This is Al Foreman for the Save a Lot Nutrition Hour. I am joined with a very special guest, Dr. Herb Slavin, whose practice is at 7200 West Commercial Boulevard, which is just a little bit under a mile east of University Drive. And its phone number there to call for an appointment is 954-748-4991. If you missed the show yesterday, we were speaking about some of the in-store specials going on here at the Save-A-Lot Nutrition Center. I didn't want you to forget about them because I think this is a way you can save money from our everyday low prices. The companies that are participating are passing along a special discount to me, which I in turn pass along to you. So if you have a moment, I'm going to call off the names of the companies and the discounts that are available over and above the everyday low prices that we feature here at the Save-A-Lot Nutrition Center. We have the line of Vitamir, Super Nutrition, Natrol, Gensutics, and Envision Silver 100. All those five lines are 50% off the everyday low price. And today, in honor of having Dr. Slavin on the show, I think one of the critical points that people have to consider when they are choosing their supplement program is to make sure you're using a good probiotic, something that has to be used every day. And in honor of that, we are going to be featuring the Flora, a Renew Life probiotics. That's R-E-N-E-W. That was developed by Brenda Watson, who you may have heard on our show a couple of weeks ago. So the Renew Life probiotics are 25% off the everyday low price. Again, the entire line of Renew Life probiotics, that's the ones in the fridge, are all 25% off the everyday low price. Dr. Slavin, getting back to you with the issue of cancer. While we were on the break, I don't know if you had an opportunity to check into the causes of low carbon dioxide, but sometime before the end of the show, I'd like to get your opinion to pass along to our listeners. What are some of the steps they have to use to prevent themselves from getting cancer?
Well, like I say, the life choices you make every day are really where it's at. So like we were saying, you know, you have to eat organic. I think twice about vaccinations. That's my personal opinion. Although there are a lot of people that believe as I do, but you also have the mainstream medicine folks promoting vaccines all the time.
Right.
And yet there's no proof to show their efficacy. In other words, you know, how has that been better? Give you a perfect example. They don't wait for kids to get chickenpox anymore. They give them a chickenpox vaccine. Well, the difference is when you get chickenpox as a kid, you have lifelong immunity. When you get the vaccine, you don't. And they always want to give you more boosters. And they're actually finding a higher incidence of herpes in the kids getting vaccinated than people that have had the disease themselves. childhood illnesses, measles, mumps, rubella, chickenpox, we all had them because we were born before the era of those vaccines. And yet today we're not allowed to, I could say, grow up naturally. In other words, we can't get the normal childhood illnesses. We have to get vaccines. And I'm not sure that's the best way to go. All I can tell you is, and this is anecdotal, Al, and patients who raise their kids without vaccines, they say their kids never miss a day of school, and the ones getting vaccinated are always are out a lot with the various types of infections.
I've heard the same thing.
So back to you asked, the caller asked about bicarbonate. Is it, as I mentioned, a reflection of your acidity or alkalinity in your body, but it's usually in very serious illnesses that it's a problem. The body will always work to maintain a neutral pH, in other words, keeping the acid and alkaline in balance. However, with certain serious illnesses, it can be disrupted. So if kidney failure, if you have severe diarrhea, that'll give you a low bicarbonate. A low bicarbonate meaning make you acidic. Cancer can do that. Hyperventilation, blowing off the carbon dioxide, will make you acidic.
Mm-hmm.
And then the on the other hand, you can get a high bicarbonate with lung disease because you can't get rid of the acid. You can't get rid of the carbon dioxide, which will tend to make you more alkaline. So lung disease tends to give you to make you more alkaline, and the other disease is kidney disease. But you don't have those issues when you're not sick enough to be in a hospital. So that's an area.
Good point.
I wouldn't pay too much attention, because let's say you're eating a diet that's high in protein and that's an acidic diet. Your body is going to compensate for it. And you know how your body tries to maintain that neutrality when it comes to acid and base balance or acid and alkalinity? It's going to take calcium out of your bones to neutralize the acid. So a high protein diet will tend to be more prone to osteopenia and osteoporosis. So, and by the way, there's a urine test. Everybody's going through these bone densities, but there's a urine test that measures N-telopeptides, and it will give you the feedback you need to know if you're losing excess protein, excess calcium from your bones or not. So, I mean, mainstream medicine doesn't use it, and a lot of reasons the doctors don't order the test is they don't want to take the time to explain it and go over it with you. They just want to order a complete blood count and a chemistry. They'll probably check your thyroid and your cholesterol, basically to see what drugs they can put you on or to see if you're sick enough to go in the hospital. But they're not doing it. They're not being proactive to keep people out of the hospital. One of the things that we do, and you've heard me talk about this before, Al, is the ultraviolet blood treatment.
Right.
Was used in the hospitals routinely prior to the introduction of antibiotics. The difference is it's far safer than antibiotics and has far more beneficial effects than antibiotics, not just killing the offending agent, whether it be a bacteria, a virus, or a fungus, but it's also going to strengthen the immune system and improve the circulation through the body. And that, you can research that on the internet. There was a Time magazine article back in 1949 on how it was saving lives of children who were admitted to the hospital with rheumatic fever. And back then, this is prior to antibiotics, there was a high death rate associated with it because of heart complications. And those treated with the ultraviolet blood treatment left the hospital healthy. But they got rid of it because of antibiotics.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's interesting you brought up that point, Dr. Flavin, because I have to say that of all the doctors over the years that I've encountered and met with and interviewed, I think your practice encompasses what a true holistic medical professional can do. And I think the important point that people have to consider is doing the testing to make sure your body is where it's supposed to be. And I know that you do extensive testing, as you pointed out, in several areas, as to how people can help prevent themselves from ever coming down with illnesses so that they can live a long, healthy life. And for the benefit of the people that didn't get the phone number, to get in touch with Dr. Slavin's office, it's 954-748-4991. 954-748-4991. And Dr. Slavin also has access to the blood work that would have to be done to check people's levels in many different areas. Dr. Slavin, I'm going to give you the last word because we're coming up on the end of the show.
All right. So just to highlight the extensive blood work we do is to empower the patient with the information they need, first of all, to know there's something wrong, because as I've said before, Al, just because you feel good doesn't mean you're not sick. You want
so
to know
true.
That there's something wrong so you can make the changes. And it's usually as easy as just fixing your diet, improving that a little bit. That's usually the place to go to get the most benefit, just some dietary changes.
Couldn't agree with you more. And I will look forward to seeing you next Thursday for my intravenous vitamin C drip, as I always really like that because it gives me a chance to relax for a couple of hours, which mm-hmm. is always nice. So I want to thank you for being with us today and sharing all this vital, important information with our listening audience. You've been listening to Al Foreman, our very special guest, Dr. Herb Slavin, and we welcome you to come back tomorrow morning at 10 o'clock, and we'll have Janet Cimarelli back here. She's here in the store from 11 to 2 tomorrow, Thursday, Friday from 4 to 7, and Saturday 1 to 5. I want to thank everybody very much for listening, and hopefully you receive some great benefits from listening to Dr. Herb Slavin. Dr. Slavin, thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you, Al.
Bye-bye.
You've been listening to the Save-A-Lot Nutrition Hour with your hosts, Mr. Al Foreman, and licensed nutrition counselor, Janet Cimarelli. Remember to tune in every weekday at 10 a.m. and find out more about EDLP. The opinions expressed on the preceding sponsored program were strictly those of its hosts, guests, and callers, and not necessarily those of this station, its staff, management, or sponsors.